wanted to take the job myself. Layla had one on her head as well. I guess you could say that friendship took over, and I felt that, though I couldn't save her father, I owed it to the man to at least save his daughter. So I did. Why couldn't you save her father? Wiping down the counter, he said, "There's no changing a hit once it is set in stone. Nothing can be done. You can't prevent the fates. I maybe could have stopped one attempt, perhaps even two, but eventually it would have caught up to him."
"But you saved Layla? Will the fates catch up with her?"
He nodded. "Most likely. We both know that. All I can do is try my best to fight them."
"But there is nothing between you guys?"
I tried to ask as casually as I could, hoping he couldn't hear the jealousy still laced within my words. I sipped my wine to try to hide the tension on my face as I waited for the answer. He sipped his drink and walked over to the couch and motioned for me to follow as we both sat down. "There are some lines you just don't cross. She's a little too young for my tastes," he said with a wink. "And Vanilla. I tend to like things a lot darker than Layla is, or at least I assume she is." His eyes darkened, and so much mystery seemed to lurk in the depths of them. "She lives in the pool house and is about as close to family as I have. So, no, I wouldn't fuck a family member."
Relief washed over me. I felt bad and even a bit ashamed for instantly hating a girl I had never met. The green-eyed monster had always been a weakness of mine, and I just hoped I had somehow managed to hide my feelings from Harley.
"You don't have any family?" I asked as I settled against the leather that was almost as soft as butter. "Assassins and family don't mix."
"Why?"
He chuckled. "Do I really need to answer that?" My face heated. "I guess not. Good point." "So, Carla Alvarez," he said calmly, "where do we go from here?" His words were like a splash of cold water. I nearly choked on the wine that I had just sipped.
"How do you know my real name?" I asked, stunned to hear that name that I hadn't heard in so many years.
I hated it. Carla Alvarez was dead. I'd killed her the minute I'd moved to New Orleans, and Harley was digging up her grave. "I own Spiked Roses, remember? I have access to personnel records." I hadn't seen smug on Harley Crow before, and it was about as sexy as the rest of his facial expressions.
"I don't go by that name anymore," I said softly.
"I understand that.
Just like you don't go by the name you were born with," I countered, feeling a bit violated that he knew this secret of mine.
"True," he said with a nod as he crossed his leg casually over the other. "I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. I promise to never call you by that name, or ever mention it to anyone, if you tell me why you chose to change it to Marlo Masters." I hadn't told anyone about my name change before, and I wasn't sure I wanted to. Picking up on my hesitation, Harley said, "Who's afraid of the dark? I get to choose anything I want that could scare you, remember? As long as it isn't on your list of hard limits. Asking about your past is not on your hard limits."
"This has nothing to do with fear," I defended.
"I disagree."
I sighed deeply. I wanted to make sure he knew I was not pleased with the way the conversation was going. "I told you, big dreams, shitty past. I didn't want to be the daughter of a Mexican motorcycle gang leader any longer. I wanted a new start. I didn't want to be the girl who grew up in a piece-of-shit town ruled by the gun trade and drugs. And you know what else?" I said as I paused to take a drink of wine. "I didn't want to be Mexican anymore. I didn't want to become my mother or my sisters or my other family members. I wanted to escape it all. My past, my heritage, my family. All of it. Marlowe Masters was as far away from Carla Alvarez as you could get. Harley appeared stunned by my confession, a little too stunned. From the way his eyes narrowed and the tilt of his head, he almost seemed as if he didn't believe what I was telling him.
"Did someone tell you to tell me that? Your story?"
His voice was even and steady, but all the casual and playful banter almost seemed to disappear. He stood up from the couch, walked toward the window, and turned to face me.
"The motorcycle gang. What gang?"
"What are you talking about?" I didn't understand why he was asking me this question. Why did he care?
"Why would someone tell me to tell you this? My past? I didn't want to tell you about my past. You made me."
He shook his head, and a small smile seemed to be forced on his face.
"Never mind. It just seems like an unbelievable story. Mexican motorcycle gang? Really?"
"Really," I said, feeling a little defensive and still confused with the way he acted and the questions he asked.
"Your past world blends with mine. I just didn't expect that to happen, is all."
"I work at Spiked Roses. Did you really expect for me to have some naive, bright-eyed, normal past with a blue-collared father and a suburban housewife of a mother? The girls who work there have dark and checkered pasts. Not one of us have to make something up just to be interesting. Trust me."
Walking back to the couch, he sat down and ran his hand over the side of my head, keeping it cupped in a warm and protective way.
"I'm sorry. I shouldn't have made you tell me that story if you didn't want to." His eyes were staring deeply into mine, and his face was so close that I could feel his breath against my skin. He was so close that if I moved in just a little bit, we would be kissing.
"I promise that I will never call you that name, nor bring it up again."
And just like that, I was jelly in his hands once again. One touch, one kind word. Melted goo on his butter-soft couch.
"I just want to change the subject, if that's all right with you," I said, hoping he wouldn't take his hand off my head. It felt possessive, and I fantasized at that moment that I was his. I wanted the feeling to last.
"Fair enough," he said, finally breaking his contact and sitting back as he sipped from his vodka. He was still close to me, but not nearly as close as I wanted him to be.
"Let's discuss this contract we signed."
Heat radiated from my toes all the way to the top of my head. I knew my cheeks had to be a blazing red by how hot they felt.
"Okay, the contract."
My words came out stronger than I truly felt inside, which I was at least happy about.
"Are you really not afraid of the dark?"
he asked, his eyes locking with mine.
"I guess we will soon find out."
Breathing seemed to become a struggle as my chest felt like it weighed 1,000,000 pounds.
"Red," he said. "All you have to do is say red, but if I don't hear that word, I won't stop. I have to warn you, Marlowe."
"Warn me about what?"
"I love the smell of fear. I get off on it. It makes my dick hard, and the more afraid you are, the more I will want to continue on. I plan to test you, take you right to the edge of insanity. I want you to be so afraid, yet have me there with you while you are. What I have in mind this weekend, you will hate me for it afterwards."
"I don't scare easily," I said, placing my empty wine glass on the nearby table. "And how can I hate you for doing what we both agreed to? I told you at Spiked Roses that I'm not afraid of the dark."
"Oh, I have no doubt that you believe that to be true, but I also think I will succeed in scaring you shitless. We have all weekend. Tonight will be just a taste of what's to come."
"Yes, we have all weekend." I took hold of his glass and placed it next to mine.
"Then shall we begin?" I asked, not being able to take it any longer.
"Let's see if you can break me."
"Break you?" His eyes darkened and an almost snarl formed on his lips.
"Did I just hear you say that?"
"Break me," I repeated. "Can you?"
"Oh, trust me, I can."
I could smell him so close. I'd had a small taste of how good his touches could be, but I wanted more, so much more. Standing up, Harley lifted me from my seated position with more force than all his other tender touches before. Taking me by the hand, he silently led me to a door. It didn't take long for me to see that it was his room when I saw the large four-poster master bed that dominated the center of the space. I needed Harley Crow now. I had waited for this time for so long. I had lusted, I had hungered, and I had craved. It was time to finally stare that boogie monster straight in the eye. I was not afraid of the dark one little bit. It was the opposite. He was the dark, and I wanted to be engulfed in it, surrounded in it, conquered by it.
7. Harley. You can't rattle the cage of the animal and not expect to unleash the fury. Marlowe claimed she didn't scare easily, which only further fueled my desire to prove her wrong. Her exterior was hardened, protected, but I saw something else. I saw it in the way she swallowed hard and the way her breathing hitched. There was fear there, fear beneath the weak shield she held up. I could break her. I would fucking break her. She didn't think so, but oh, how she was wrong. When I was done with her this weekend, she would see. She would see where dancing with the monster would lead her. As we walked into my bedroom, I took her by the upper arms and slammed her against the wall without warning. The purpose wasn't to hurt her, but to set the energy. No more small talk. No more peeking into our pasts. Now it was time to dive into the depths of what both of us kept locked inside. Her brown eyes were wide, but not frightened. Startled. But startled didn't fuel my fire. I wanted her to be afraid. She should be, if she knew. If she had any idea, she would have never signed that contract to be with me. She had no idea what I was capable of doing, what I could and would do to her. There was a fine, jagged line between consensual and taking. It was a line I walked. I took. I demanded. But at the same time, the women of my past begged for more. They hungered for me as I did for them. A taste of the darkness addicted all who sampled. "Remove your dress," I ordered in a low and even tone. Calm. Always calm. The calmest waters were always the scariest. You never knew what creature lurked beneath. I released her arms so she was no longer restricted. This is where I would see if she was truly what I craved. If I had read her correctly, did the submissive nature that I longed to devour exist behind those dark eyes of hers? The answer was yes. Without hesitation and without shame, she reached for the black strap of her dress and lowered it down her shoulder and arm. She never broke eye contact as she repeated the step with the other strap, lowering the fabric over her bare breasts. She held her gaze steady on mine. I didn't want to break the stare, but I had no choice. I needed to see what was revealed as the black dress was peeled off her creamy skin. She took hold of the dress with both hands when it bunched at her hips and lowered it over the curve of her ass, exposing a black lace G-string. Allowing the dress to drop to the floor where it pooled at her bare feet, she took one step, then two out of it, kicking it to the side. Fuck. Fucking beautiful. The most fucking stunning woman stood before me. Her firm breasts screamed out to me, demanding to be touched, licked, bit, and claimed as mine. and the soft swell of her stomach that blended with the hourglass shape of her hips. She was not stick and bones like so many women foolishly strive to be, and the luscious, womanly curves she possessed turned me on more than any woman I had ever seen. The pressure built at the base of my spine and jolted straight to my cock. She wasn't afraid. She was in control. But I was not. I was fucking losing control as my lust and desire to be balls deep in her sweet pussy increased to an almost suffocating level. I had to gain control. I had to take it back. I had no choice or she would eat me alive. I placed my hand at her throat and squeezed. Not enough to cut off her air completely, but enough to restrict it. Her eyes widened again, and her lips parted with a soft, strangled gasp. But she still showed no fear. Fuck. Why was there no fear? I tightened my grip as I made sure her head was pressed firmly against the wall behind her. Looking down at her body in nothing but a thin G-string, I used my other hand to cup one breast, enjoying how it filled my hand. Marlo remained motionless, which pleased me. She was waiting, waiting for my command as what to do next. She understood her role. I was the predator, she was the prey. "Go sit in the bed," I said in the same calm voice as before. She waited until I released my hold on her throat and breast, and slowly walked over to the bed, draped in a black and gray damask bedspread. I unbuttoned my shirt slowly, staring at her as she walked to the bed. Her long black hair cascaded down her back over the tattoo that I was dying to know the story behind. The branches of the tree delicately curved around her shoulder blades, while the trunk of the tree ran down the entire length of her spine. The branches were nearly bare, with dead leaves dropping to where her ass met her back. It was a dead tree, yet so full of life. It screamed of a dark tale, a tale I wanted to be told. It wasn't just a tattoo, but rather art, true and unbelievably talented art. She sat at the edge of the bed and placed her hands in her lap as she watched me shed my clothing with hunger in her eyes. After I cast my shirt to the side, I walked over to a row of blood-red candles I had on the nightstand and lit them. The moonlight shone through the large window in the room, but the moon alone without the candle's blaze wouldn't be enough light for my tastes. I wanted to see every delicious inch of her body. I wanted to see the spark of fear the minute it entered her brave eyes. Marlo said nothing as the wicks crackled beneath the flame. She remained still. So still. The only thing she moved were her eyes as she watched my every move, and when the candlelight illuminated the room, I turned to find her studying my tattoos as I had studied her. Tattoos are like body paint that warriors put on before battle. Marlo and I were both warriors engaged in our own type of war. I walked back toward her as I unbuckled my belt, slipping it from the loops of my pants in a swish. The action and sound drew Marlo's eyes to the belt, and then to my eyes in question, as I took hold of the black leather and wrapped it around her neck. And there it was, the first flicker of fear as I fastened the belt and tightened it around her delicate throat. Again, it wasn't enough to prevent her from breathing, but enough to force her to have to part her lips and inhale deeply, searching for whatever air she could. I held on to the belt and tugged it hard, snapping her head back so she had no choice but to look up at me. I needed to hear her voice. I needed to hear the submissive softness that I knew would be present. I needed to hear the quiver in her words that I knew the building fear inside of her would cause. "Do you like pain, Marlo?" "Yes," she said so low that had I not read the word on her lips, I wouldn't have heard it. I tugged the belt more, hoping she'd read my action and the stern look I gave her as a warning. "Yes, sir," she said more clearly, which instantly pleased me. Yes, that was all it would take, the look. She understood the look. Her eyes glassed over as I ran my fingers through her hair and cupped the back of her head possessively. "I know you do, or at least you think you do, but you have no idea the type of pain I could deliver. I wouldn't scar your body, but I would scar every inch of your insides. There would be nothing inside of you left untouched. A soft mule escaped her lips, and my cock surged in need. Jesus Christ, so submissive. She was so fucking submissive. I knew, but I didn't know. Not like this. Not this intense. It shouldn't be this intense. I was walking along a dangerous cliff. If I fell off, I would be undone. Marlowe Masters had the power to shove me off that cliff if I wasn't careful. She placed her fingertips at my waistband and looked up at me with questioning eyes. Yes, she was asking permission. Marlowe and I had already mastered the language of silence. We knew the looks, the way to speak without the words. She wanted to lower my pants but was waiting for my dictate to say it could happen first. Oh, she had the skill of an aged submissive, and we had the connection that a dom and submissive spend years to develop. So fast, so powerful, but so fucking dangerous. The cliff. I had to remember I balanced precariously on the precipice. I nodded my approval, which was all it took for her tiny fingers to busily unbutton, unzip, and shed me of my pants and underwear in effortless motions. I still held the belt firmly around her neck. It acted as the appetizer of what was still to come this night, a very small sampling of the main course. When my pants came down and my cock popped out, free to stand hard against the still air of the room, I could feel her small puffs of breath upon it. She was so close. Her face so close. One thrust is all it would take to shove my dick past her pouty lips and rest against her wet tongue. This was an act I never insisted on. I never commanded it to happen. If they chose of their own free will and their own desires to suck me off, then I gladly allowed it. But that was on them. I would not fuck their face without consent, just as I would not fuck their pussy without it. But Marlowe clearly consented. Not asking, not waiting to see what I would demand of her next, she took hold of my cock at the base and ran the tip of her tongue in a circle along the tip. "Careful," I warned. "I don't allow teasing." "I don't tease," she said, as she lowered her mouth over my cock in one long movement. I groaned as her lips tightened around me, as she practically swallowed me whole. My dick pressed deep against the back of her throat. I was not a small man, so the fact that she could almost take all of me showed her true desire to please. Up and down, she bobbed her head as she sucked my dick, like she hungered for it, like she needed it as much as I did. She wanted to do this. She wanted to hear my groans, my sounds of pleasure. A true submissive. She wanted to please me and worship my cock, and fuck did she ever. I could come so easily. I could fill her mouth and she would swallow every last drop. Or I could pull out and spray my completion all over her perky breasts, and she would no doubt moan in surrendered delight as I did so. I knew this about her. I could read it in how she moaned and hummed around my cock as she ran her tongue in delightful circles while pushing and pulling the cum right out of me. But it was too soon. Too soon to cross over that level of the dynamic. No, first she had to take hold of my hand and enter the darkness. She was distracting. It was her way of running away, but I wouldn't allow it. I would catch her. I tightened the belt and pulled back, causing her to gasp around my cock that rested heavily in her mouth. I tugged again and she whimpered as she pulled her lips away from their seductive hold. She wasn't done. She didn't want to end. But I had to. I had to stay focused. I almost went over that damn cliff. "Not yet," I said, as I picked her up underneath her arms and brought her toward the top of the bed. Her raven hair splayed out across the gray pillows as the candlelight danced shadows over her milky skin. It reminded me of a storm brewing with the grays and blacks and just a touch of light peeking through the clouds. Fucking stunning. I unfastened the belt around her neck, ready to move on to what I had in store next. I moved to the nightstand that the candles burned on and opened the drawer. I knew the tools I required for tonight's play in the dark. They were all in that drawer. "Roll over onto your belly," I directed as I pulled each item I needed out and lined it all up for easy reach. "Face in the pillow. I don't want you to see what comes next." I could hear her compliance by the sounds of her movements. I loved that she didn't question or resist in any way. She really was making it easier than I had expected. Though I loved the hunt, I appreciated this so much more. I understood and valued what a true submissive could give. It was a gift she was offering to me, and I would gladly accept it. My cock still demanded attention, but I ignored it the best I could as I positioned my body next to hers, admiring the roundness of her bare ass with nothing but the thin strap of her panties showing before me. Taking hold of an antique dagger I had pulled out of the drawer, I lifted the strap of her panties and sliced them right off her with the sharp edge of the knife. She gasped, but said nothing. I loved her silence. But she would only be able to remain silent for so long. She would be pleading soon, begging, making my cock grow with the smell of her fear. This was just the beginning. Only the beginning. I tossed the knife to the side, knowing damn well that I would be using it again, soon. Snapping the lid open of the bottle of lube I reached for next, I coated my fingers in generous amounts. I saw the cheeks of her ass constrict as she no doubt recognized the sound of lube being opened and knew what that would mean. Marlowe may have been breathing easy again since the belt had been removed, but I was about to steal her breath even more than before. Without warning, I brought my slick index finger to the puckered entrance of her anus and pressed in. She tightened around my finger and her entire body tensed, but she did not resist. She whimpered and clenched the bedspread, but allowed me to move my finger in and out as I coated her hole with the lube. Adding a second finger, she cried out, but I continued on with coating every inch and stretching her tight little hole. She tried to wiggle free from my invasion, which I rewarded with a swift spank to her helpless ass. She was mine. Mine. Her gasp, followed by a deep moan, revealed that she did indeed like the bite of pain with her pleasure. What a true gem she was. "You're going to thank me for the time I'm taking to prepare this ass of yours," I said, rubbing the pink mark I had just caused with the slap, which had her moaning even more. I didn't need any further proof that she was enjoying the preparation and even the quick discipline warning. But I still wanted to see for myself as I pumped my two fingers into her anus. I used my other hand to rub along the silken folds of her pussy. She was wet. So fucking wet. But I'd already known she would be. "Harley," she said on a whisper as I rubbed my finger along her pussy, petting her for good behavior. I liked my women wet and desperate for my touch, and for my dick to be shoved inside of them in whichever way I chose. I was strict, but I rewarded as well. She parted her thighs, silently begging for more. I reached down a little further under the weight of her hips and found her clit. The minute I did, she bucked against my hand, driving my fingers even deeper into her ass. She cried out as I clearly stretched her even more, but she only bucked again, driving my fingers even further inside. Her arousal helped aid me in preparing her ass for what was to come, so I rewarded her again by circling her clit in sensuous movements again and again. Moan after moan, her juices coated my hand. This vixen was mine. I had her. The balance of control had been set. Pulling my fingers out of her ass, as well as off her clit, I was pleased to hear a sigh of disappointment escape Marlowe's lips. But her short reprieve would be just that. Short. I reached for the nightstand and pulled off my next tool for the night. An anal hook. By appearance, this tool would make anyone afraid. And that was exactly the point. "Open your eyes," I said, when I noticed Marlowe had her eyes closed. There was a sweet look of contentment and satisfaction on her face, but I was ready to change that. She followed my command and gasped with wide eyes when she saw what I held before her. "What is that?" she asked with a squeak to her voice. "Never seen an anal hook before?" She licked her lips and swallowed hard. The steel, the size, the shape, and the large ball at the end meant to be rooted in her ass was definitely ominous. I didn't blame her for her fear. An oversized fishing hook tool in the hand of a dom would frighten any woman wise enough to know what that would mean. I took a chain and attached it to a leather collar I planned on placing around her neck. The leather was wide, almost as wide as my hand, much thicker and firmer than the belt I had choked her with before. Too tight with this collar, and she wouldn't be able to breathe. But that control would be completely in her hands. Completely.
"I don't understand," she said softly. "What is the purpose of that? What do you plan on doing?"
I inhaled deeply. Fuck yeah, she was afraid. Nervous, but definitely afraid. "You'll soon see," I answered, as I coated the end of the hook with the lubrication. Not waiting for permission, because that was not the type of man I was, I placed the tip of the hook with the rounded ball at her anus and pushed in. It slid in as a loud husky moan filled the air of the room. Marlowe instantly tensed, but relaxed the minute the hook was fully seated into the depths of her ass. She clearly knew. Resistance would only make it worse. I then grabbed the collar and leaned up toward her neck. Such an elegant neck it was. I suddenly wanted to kiss a trail along the angles of her shoulder, her collarbone, her earlobe. The cliff. The fucking cliff. Kissing was for couples. We were not a fucking couple. I had to once again focus on not falling off that damn cliff. Taking a handful of her hair instead, I leaned down and whispered, "Ready to say red yet?"
"Never,"
she squeaked. Releasing her hair, I fastened the leather collar around her neck, securing it snugly. I took the silver chain that hung loosely from a ring in the leather and fastened it to the anal hook. In doing so, it forced Marlowe's head back. She had no choice but to arch her back and bend backwards. She had two choices. Lean forward to ease up on the choking, lean back to ease up on the pressure of the hook in her ass. It truly was a lose-lose situation, and if she struggled, if she fought, if she didn't focus on finding the perfect balance where she could breathe and still bear the pain of the hook in her stretched bottom hole, she would definitely be screaming red. But not Marlowe Masters. Not her. I could see how she rocked and moved her body ever so slightly to find that balance. She calmly searched for a position to be comfortable. She took long, even breaths when she could. She adjusted her hips to help with the pressure of the hook. She never cried out for help. She didn't panic. She didn't beg. No. She adapted. She met the darkness head on. I'd underestimated her. Marlowe Masters, unlike any woman I had ever met, clearly understood how to dance in the darkness.
8. Marlowe. A vision so dark, I watched myself drift away, to the edge. I couldn't breathe, yet I could. I panicked, yet I remained calm. I ran from the monster of fear, yet I faced him head on, to the edge. Harley Crow guided me to the edge. I rested my head on his shoulder of black and accepted. He was my dark. He was my light. He can't see me, but I see him. I hear him. I smell him. I taste him. I feel him. The senses of sin. To the edge. "Breathe," I hear him say, pulling me away from the dark abyss. Inhaling, I did as he commanded. The light returned. "Can you breathe?" he asked as he traced his fingertips along the design of my tattoo.
I wasn't sure if I had enough air to speak. I could breathe, but the struggle to do so was ever present as the leather of the collar constricted my ability to fill my lungs as I normally would. Harley pressed my head forward, which tugged at the hook in my ass. Doing so, however, gave me all the air I needed to say, "Yes." I took a long, refreshing breath that soothed my burning lungs. "Yes, sir." "If you allow that hook to stretch that tight little hole of yours more, then you can breathe so much easier. It's a balance of control, a wicked game of give and take." His fingertips left my back and traced their way along the curve of my ass and dipped to my sex. A bolt of electricity surged through me when he went even further and thrust his finger into my pussy that so desperately wanted any type of invasion whatsoever. It hungered for the attention. "Fear makes you wet," he said as he thrust his finger in and out of me. "No." "Your body disagrees." "You make me wet," I unashamedly admitted. He added a second finger and continued with his thrusting. It was no longer the collar or the anal hook stealing my breath. Harley had the power all by himself. "Do I scare you?" he asked as he reached for a candle and brought it toward me. "No," I whispered, focusing on trying to remain as still as possible. As long as I didn't move too far in one direction or the other, I could breathe, and I didn't cause too much discomfort to my penetrated ass. I looked at him out of the corner of my eye and saw that same devilish smirk that always sent a delightful shiver through me. "Not yet," he said as he held the candle over my shoulder. "But soon." Tilting the burning flame slightly, Harley dripped the red wax onto my shoulder. Tiny droplets of red wax ran along my skin and dripped down my back and over my collarbone. He continued to pour the wax along my back, swiping from side to side across my body, leaving a stream of hot liquid behind. The candle wax burned for an instant as it connected with my skin, but then quickly dissipated as it hardened. I couldn't flinch because the slightest move restricted my breathing or applied pressure in my asshole that would restrict my breathing in its own torturous way. "Red to add to the black ink of your tree," Harley said as I felt wax drip along the outline of the tattoo. My body ached from the intense arch I was forced to hold, as well as the agonizing need to feel another part of me filled. My pussy pulsated in hunger. I had never craved as badly as I did right now. There was absolutely nothing I wouldn't do for this man. I was at his mercy in every possible way. Placing the candle on the table, Harley reached for a knife. I assumed it was the same one he'd used to cut my panties off me earlier. He brought the tip of the blade to where he'd first poured the wax on my shoulder and slowly scraped the red from my flesh. So sharp, so deadly, so close. A killer. Harley Crow was a known killer, and he held the blade inches from my throat. "Are you afraid?" he asked as he scraped the metal along my flesh, removing the wax from my sensitive skin as he did so. "Yes," I admitted. I was fucking terrified. Knives, death, killing, torture. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move.
"Red?"
"No. Why? Why wouldn't I stop this?" The blade dipped down along my collarbone, forcing me to stay as still as I could. The tip of the dagger edged its way along the path of the wax, scratching off the candle drippings, but leaving a trail of sensory overload in its wake.
"No?"
he asked as he continued to drag the blade over my back, side to side, down my spine, along my ribs like he had just done with the wax. Every time the tip of the knife ran over a bump of my spine, chills blended with the heat of my growing need. I pictured red lines of barely there cuts, as well as remnants of wax crisscrossing my back, as if I had been whipped for my indiscretions. Marks of my darkness, signs of my need for exactly this kind of sex. This was everything I needed and wanted. Harley knew exactly how to make my body sing a forbidden melody. So wrong, so right, so perfectly us. I screamed when he hit the blade of the knife against the steel of the anal hook. The vibrating impact rippled through me. It lit every nerve inside my core. It hurt so good. Being the sadist I knew he could be, he did it again and again. My scream turned to moans of delightful agony. Agony to have my torture end by Harley fucking me as hard as he could in whatever hole of my body he chose. "Red?" he asked again, as if teasing me to scream the word as loudly as I could against the restricting collar that squeezed all the spare breath I possessed. He was pushing my limits. He wanted to see how far I would go. I would go as far as he took me. "No," I repeated. "Do you want me to stop?" "Yes, but only so you will..." He tapped the hook again, causing me to cry out in intoxicating pain. "So I will... what? Fuck you?" "Yes." He chuckled in the sexiest yet most maniacal of ways. "You've done so well," he praised as he tapped the hook one last time before slowly removing it from where it had held me captive. "But there is still time for me to have you screaming out the word red, and I will. I promise you I will." I sighed as I allowed my head to collapse to the pillow beneath me. My neck burned from the stretch, as did my tiny bottom hole. I heard the heavy clank of metal hit the floor as Harley took hold of the chain and then the collar. Effortlessly, he unfastened the constricting collar and flipped me over so I was lying flat on my back. He towered over me with eyes so dark, so cryptic. Harley wasn't done. I could see that. His thirst was far from quenched.
Harley. Her smell intoxicating. Fear, arousal, and need dripped from her pussy, and she conquered my senses. I wanted to feast from her. I needed it like I needed air. I placed my fingers on her inner thighs and spread her wide. I noticed scars. Thin and faint, but obviously painful scars, lines of a blade over and over. Old cuts from deep wounds. Tracing my fingers over the remnants of the pain, I asked, "You cut yourself?" "I did," she said softly, trying to close her legs in shame, which I refused to let happen by holding her open to examine each inch of her damaged skin.
"Not anymore."
"Do you have scars on your heart as well?"
"Not yet."
Feeling the uncontrollable need to touch, to taste the remnants of a deep pain of hers, I ran the tip of my tongue along each jagged line of a sad tale. Marlo tensed, but didn't try to fight me. Her breaths grew deep, as if I were soothing a part of her soul with each gentle lick. Not being able to resist the need to feast on her any longer, I lowered my face closer to her cunt, which glistened back at me, and inhaled as deeply as I could. Her thighs tried to snap shut, but I held them in place, breathing in again before I licked at the moisture I could see lining her pink lips. Her body tensed, but the sexual whimper I heard above me revealed I was giving her exactly what she wanted. But I didn't care what she wanted. It was about what I wanted, and I wanted her. I wanted to taste every inch of her wet pussy. I wanted it all. It was mine. I licked, I lapped, I devoured. I ate that pussy of hers like a ravenous animal. But the warning bells returned. The cliff. I was falling off the cliff.
Taking hold of my knife again, I placed the weight of it on her bare mound. She froze, and her breathing hitched. "I advise you to stay very still," I warned. She said nothing and did exactly that. Even her breathing seemed to cease. But as I ran the tip of the blade along her delicate, sweet folds, I watched as the juices escaped her. "Dirty girl," I said as I pressed a little harder. "Dark and filthy girl." The harder I pressed, the wetter she got.
"Yes, yes," she moaned.
I lowered the blade to her taint and pressed against it enough to hear her cry out, yet she continued to remain completely still. Such a good submissive she was. Or had we crossed over and she was now my captive, too scared to move? Moving the blade back up her pussy, I ran a trail up over her mound to her belly, her breasts, and to her throat. I followed the blade to where I was lying on top of her, bearing most of my weight on my arm, not holding the knife. I pressed the tip of metal to her jugular and asked, "Do you want me to fuck you?" Placing the knife down, I reached for my last tool for the night and opened the condom with my teeth. Her eyes were wide as she widened her legs further, wrapping them around me, pulling me down to her. Tentatively, she placed her hands on my back, connecting us further. "Say the words," I commanded as I placed the condom on my dick.
"Fuck me," she said. "Please."
Falling off the fucking cliff, I shoved into her in one swift movement. I didn't ease in. I didn't allow her to adjust to my size. I fucking loved the sound of her cries as I stretched that tight little pussy of hers. Her nails dug into my back, which I allowed. I would take pain as I gave. I would grant permission for her to claw in desperation as I tore her to shreds with my girth, as I fucked in and out of her in aggressive and dominating thrusts. Not gentle, hard. She had rattled the cage. She had unleashed the beast. I took in her scent as I bit her neck, nibbling against her silky flesh. Rather than fighting, she bent her neck more, giving me better access. Her black hair lay wildly around us, and I could smell her shampoo.
"Harley,"
she moaned, which made me fuck her even harder. Yes, she would remember that name. She would remember that name as someone to fear. Be afraid. Be afraid of the dark. And as her cries blended with moans, I mastered her completely. I felt her orgasm tighten around me and heard her screams of pleasure, but I didn't care. I was falling, plummeting from the edge with nothing to cling to, and with one final thrust and a primal groan of my own, I came crashing down on the jagged rocks below. Whether I wanted to or not, I fell. Marlowe Masters had shoved me off that damn cliff.
9. Marlowe. When I exited the bathroom, I wasn't exactly surprised to not find Harley lying tangled in the crumpled sheets waiting for my return so we could have post-sex cuddling. I didn't expect him to be the type, and it wasn't like I ever cuddled after sex play from a tasting anyway. Cuddling was for couples, and we were far from a couple. Though, if I were honest with myself, I would have gladly curled up against his hard body and laid my head on his ink-covered chest if he had been there in that empty bed waiting for me. Expecting to find him in the living room, sipping on vodka, I was surprised to see an empty and dimly lit room. Not seeing any other part of the house, I was hesitant to walk around an unknown place in search of him. Who knew what secrets I could unveil by opening a door, and knowing Harley, it was a safe bet there would be many secrets in his hidden swamp estate. Padding barefoot in nothing but a black negligee that I had packed in the hopes that it would appeal to Harley's tastes, I walked down a small hallway that led to the kitchen. It was too dark to really make out the details of the room fully, but like the rest of the house, I could see granite counters completely void of any clutter, Copper pots hung over the stove, and either they were scrubbed by an expert dishwasher or had never been used because they gleamed and sparkled against the moonlight that shone through the large windows over the sink. Not seeing Harley, I continued on until I saw a swinging door that opened to a screen porch. Large pillowed chairs and tables were scattered along the porch, but in the far corner, Harley stood with his back toward me. His firm, bare ass and muscled back were all I saw, and a renewed desire formed inside of me. Completely naked, he seemed oblivious to the fact that I was there as he stared out upon a large cypress tree with Spanish moss drooping over the calm waters of the bayou. The cool air from earlier during the boat ride had dissipated to a heavy thickness. Humid like most Louisiana nights, I still got a shiver as he gazed over his shoulder at me with intense eyes and a slight smirk from lips I craved to feel against mine. "Nice view," I said as I walked toward him. He turned his stare to the scenery and nodded. "I've traveled a large part of the world, but there is something about the bayou that calls to me. I knew I had to make this place home." "I wasn't talking about that view," I admitted huskily as I ran my palm along the curve of his ass, surprising myself with my boldness. Harley spun around and took hold of my hips, pulling me to him. His hardness pressed up against my frame, and I couldn't conceal the smile of victory of being able to elicit a reaction so quickly and from just a simple caress. Raising the black satin of my negligee up, he exposed my bare bottom half, and I moaned in anticipation of what was to come. My nipples hardened against the nighty, revealing my painful need for more than just a touch on the hips. "Do I really not scare you at all?" he growled into my ear as he followed it with a nip to my lobe. "Not at all." "Why would I be scared of you? I kill people for a living. That usually scares people." "Do you plan on killing me?" I asked as I arched my head to the side as he kissed a trail of electric touches along the length of my outstretched neck. "Is it smart to trust me if I say no?" Lifting the satin fabric even higher, he positioned his thick cock to where it pressed against my pussy, still sore in the most delightful of ways from earlier, but even hungrier than before. His hand moved from where it firmly held my hip and slid to the crux of my ass and squeezed. I stood up on tiptoe, hoping to get his cock closer to my needy hole. I wanted him inside of me again, and I had no shame in feeling so. When the tip of his cock brushed against my clit, I gasped while I thrust my hands into the thickness of his hair. The man had mercy on me because he dipped his fingers between the folds of my sex and pressed his finger inside of me with enough force that I nearly felt as if I would be completely lifted from the ground. Like a puppet master, he controlled my body with every thrusting move of his finger, adding a second one before I could even process the full impact of the first one. "This cunt's wet for me," he said as he drove his finger in as far as he could possibly go. I nodded my head as my eyes rolled back and my mouth opened on a moan that remained locked inside. I liked being this wet. I wanted him to feel how much he turned me on. I wanted my juices to coat his entire hand so there would be no doubt how much I wanted this man. Pulling out of my pussy, he wrapped his arm around my body and pressed up against my anus with his coated finger from behind. I hissed as his finger pushed into my hole that was still extremely sensitive from the anal hook that had pulled my flesh to near agonizing, yet tantalizing levels. "Does it hurt?" he asked as he drove his finger into my tight channel. "Still sore from the hook?"
Yes, I purred, driving my pussy back against his cock, hoping he would replace the fingers that had been in my pussy with his dick. But you like pain. He added the second wet finger inside my tight hole and scissored them enough to stretch my punished, puckered entrance to where I couldn't help but tense and press my face to his chest. Yes, yes. My cries were muffled against the warmth of his chest as he continued to press and manipulate his fingers in my ass. The biting sting forced the moan of desire from my lips. Can you come from my fingers fucking your ass? No, of course not. But my body disagreed. A building sensation from deep in my ass worked its way to the surface. Was it possible to orgasm from anal play? I certainly hadn't experienced anything of the sort. But as the most taboo explosion bubbled to the surface with every movement of Harley's fingers, I knew that I was about to experience just that. Harley rubbed the head of his dick all around my clit, only heightening the sensation in my body more. Delving his fingers deeper into my ass, and then pressing just the tip of his cock into my pussy, I shuddered around his digits and mewled in foreign rapture as my body nearly collapsed against his. "My dirty girl," he growled into my ear as he removed his cock, even though I wanted its entire length buried inside of me. He also removed his fingers, which had me moaning even more. I could barely stand as my legs wobbled beneath me. I was relieved when Harley took hold of my shoulders and pushed me down to kneel on the ground. I knew what he wanted, and knew what was expected of me the minute my eyes stared directly at his hardened cock. Not needing any prodding or dominant command, I took hold of his shaft, brought its large girth to my mouth, and took one long lick from the base to the head. The coolness of the tile beneath my knees helped ground me to the heated desire that still pulsated inside my pussy and ass. It was my turn to give this man the same pleasure he'd just given me. I liked sucking a man off. There was a certain power it gave me. I loved the sound of a man moaning and gasping from a swipe of my tongue. But with Mr. Harley Crow, I wanted to make the man howl like the beast I knew him to be. I liked the feeling of having him tower over me, but I wanted full control to be able to suck and lick at whatever angle I chose. So, without asking, I stood and pressed against his shoulders until he took the few steps backward to the corner of the porch, where a wicker chair, meant for reading in the warm days while listening to the frogs croak and cranes call out to their mates, sat waiting. Tonight, however, that worn chair would be used as Harley's throne, while I knelt at his feet and became his servant. It pleased me to see that Harley offered no resistance, though as I glanced down at his dick standing at attention, I knew not to push my limits by making the man wait any longer. Positioning my body, kneeling between his legs, I took hold of his cock and guided it to my lips. Looking up into his hooded eyes, I lowered my mouth all the way down, licking a delicious trail as I did so. The first moan of many to come escaped his lips as his eyes closed and his head tilted back in sexual gratification. Up and down I worked my mouth on his huge mass, driving him deeper into the back of my throat each time I did so. The lower I went, the more he moaned. Yes, my king liked the tightness and pressure of my throat as I masterfully controlled the urge to gag or choke as I deep-throated his cock. I was a good servant, and he would see that as I continued to swirl my tongue around the vein that ran along the back of his shaft. Glancing up to his face to make sure I saw nothing but pure bliss, I pulled his cock out of my mouth so that I could lick and blow lightly along the slickened surface. His breath hitched and his abs tightened as I ran my tongue up and down his entire length, pausing every so often to exhale my hot breath against his flesh. "Fuck," he hissed as his dick involuntarily jerked. "So fucking good." I smiled in satisfaction as I lowered my mouth back over his cock and moaned. The vibration